following program is pre-recorded. Welcome to Hope in the Night, late night talk radio offering biblical hope and practical help, and on the air now for over 25 years. I'm Jeff Oliver, here with author and speaker June Hunt. June, let's go back to August of 2020, and let's say we were in Kenosha, Wisconsin. There were things going on there, and some rioting. There were buildings burning, dozens of buildings. In fact, crowds just destroying that, the National Guard being called in. And on August 26th of that year, authorities were seeking a possible vigilante. They found that the man they were looking for, young man they were looking for, was in Illinois, in Antioch, Illinois, a 17-year-old named Kyle Rittenhouse, which is now a household name for events that have gone on in the last few weeks. What do we know about what do we think we know about that case?
Well, the jury today came out with the sentence of not guilty. And there are many, many, many people who are verbal and leaders who are decrying the jury's sentence of not guilty. And yet, I started watching some of the trial, and I thought, this is not what's been reported. And I kept thinking, and I'm talking about, I was just watching, it's unusual for me to spend the time to do that. There is a woman named, a writer, a columnist, from Australia named Miranda Devine. Periodically, when I've read her work, it's very cogent, very logical, very, I just appreciate her, analysis. And so I just saw this moments before you helped me get her article in front of me. And what this is 10 lies about the Rittenhouse case. And as the trial was going on, that's what was happening. They were uncovering facts. These were specific facts about what really did take place. What had been reported was, and this is at the time he was 17 years old, and these were the things that were reported. He killed two Black Lives Matter protesters, BLM protesters. Well, there were three men that he shot in self-defense during violent riots in Kenosha on August 25th, and they were all white, but none of them were black. Number two, they said he crossed state lines. Well, he lives 20 miles from Kenosha, from his drive in Antioch, Illinois. He lives with his mother and sisters, but his father lives in Kenosha. His grandmother, his aunt, uncle, cousins, and best friend, they all live in Kenosha. So that's a bit misleading, as implied. In fact, he had a job as a lifeguard in Kenosha and worked a shift that day on August 25th before, and he was helping clean up all the graffiti, a lot of the graffiti left by rioters at a local school. There, he and his friend were invited to join other adults who had been asked by the owners of a used car, a car lot in Kenosha, to guard the property after 100 cars had been torched the previous night. And the police had abandoned the town to the rioters. And so Kyle took his gun to protect himself, since the rioters were violent and armed, including there were other people that were considered terrorists. So this is false. His rifle was kept in a safe at his best friend's stepfather's house in Kenosha. Number four, the gun was illegal. That's what they were saying, illegal. No, under Wisconsin law, he was entitled to possess the AR-15 as a 17-year-old. The judge, I watched that live part where the judge dismissed the gun charge. It was totally illegal. Number five, his mother supposedly drove him across state lines to the riot. No, her Wendy Riot, Wendy Rittenhouse, age 46, she never went to Kenosha. She slept late the morning of the August 24th event and worked a 16-hour shift at a nursing home near her home in Antioch. And he had already gone to his job in Kenosha when she woke up. Number six, he was considered an active shooter who took his gun to a riot looking for trouble. And there, I have quotes that were said. I won't read them, but it's false because he was there to literally clean up graffiti and try to protect this other area. I actually don't have time to do the rest of them. I would like for you to hear, though. We have material on lying versus the truth. I'm talking about biblical counseling case. We have it on manipulation, and what's happening is people's minds and thoughts are all being manipulated with false.
For bringing hope in the darkest hours, we're celebrating June Hunt and 26 years of Hope in the Night. June will tell you that a radio program was nowhere on her radar, but God had a different plan. On the first broadcast of Hope in the Night, June talked with people about fear, alcohol abuse, anger, and we'll never forget the woman facing an unplanned pregnancy. Help us mark this 26th year by making a $26 gift or even a $260 gift to our late night radio ministry. It would be a special blessing if you would make your gift a monthly gift. Just go to hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546. That's hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546.
Would you like to talk to June Hunt about a situation in your life? Consider having that conversation on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night and let June help you discover practical help that's grounded in God's truth. Your story will be heard on all of our radio affiliates, and of course, we protect your privacy by providing you with a different name. And as it happens often in our program, when you share your story, you might help someone else find biblical hope and practical help for their life. It's ministry multiplied. For an opportunity to talk with June Hunt on Hope in the Night about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or some other concern in your life, call 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-644-4817. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call tonight. 800-NIGHT-17. 800-644-4817.
Welcome back to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we are a ministry of Hope for the Heart, celebrating 35 years of ministry. To get in touch with us on Hope in the Night, give us a call at 800-NIGHT-17, and we'll talk to you about being a caller on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night. We'd love to talk with you. And our customer support team can be reached at 800-488-HOPE. They're available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central, and they'll help guide you to God's hope through our resources. We'd like to recommend to you tonight the Keys for Living called Manipulation, as June was just talking about that very subject. It is manipulation, cutting the strings that control. Also, there's lying. We have keys on that called Lying versus Truthfulness, how to stop truth decay. And again, customer support is available at 800-488-HOPE. That's 800-488-4673. Now, if you would like to speak with June about a specific situation in your life on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, again, the number is 800-NIGHT-17, 800-NIGHT-17. Just call and we will get back in touch with you as soon as possible to schedule you for the next available Hope in the Night. That's 800-NIGHT-17. We want to get to our caller for tonight, and we have listening in Ohio. Tonight we have Scott.
Well, hello, Scott. Welcome to Hope.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah. How can we help you?
Yeah, I was just hearing about your show, and that one of the things I struggle with, I mean, I've had been depressed pretty much all my life, it seems like. I mean, it goes back to being epileptic to being, you know, abused and stuff. But in my current state, I mean, where I struggle is, most people my age have they're with somebody or they're a single parent. I'm alone all by myself, and when I try to go to places, or when I should say when I do go to this, and I try to get involved, I'm always the odd person out. And many times my kindness is misconstrued, to say the least. I mean, the crowd that receives me the most and that I connect the best with is the elderly. And when I'm kind to someone around my age, I mean, if it's a guy, not so much, but if it's a lady, you know, just my gentle nature is, when I appreciate a lady, like, you could just be a waitress or someone to help me at a store. I may not ever see you again, but I'll say, thank you, hon. Or, excuse me, can I get a refill on my drink or whatever, just something like that? And then she brings it back, and she's always been good. I've been, you know, in her attention to detail or being kind, I'll say, thank you, or thank you. And, and that's just how I talk. And many ladies my age, you know, they, around my age, they act like I'm hitting on them or, you know, or who knows what he's up to. And, you know, and it's just my nature. And for being kind, being polite, I'm twisted into something that I'm not. And so, you know, in terms of connecting with people, I love the elderly, but to always, if that's all your social life is, it can be depressing.
Well, I think the what you described about being kind, you know, what I'm hearing is it's important to you to communicate in a way where people feel appreciated. Is that right?
Yes, well, it is. Yeah. I mean, I like to be appreciated. That's one thing. It's funny you say that, because when I often speak of the elderly, I said, you know, a lot of people I get can get knocked by folks and say, don't you have better things to do than spend your life with the old folks or whatever? But to me, what I often say to that is, I don't see them for their age. I see them as people who appreciate me. And who doesn't want to surround themselves with such?
There's great wisdom that elderly people have. Mm-hmm. Now, they have, in certain areas, less ability just by virtue of the aging process. But the knowledge, the experience, the practical application of how to literally accomplish a number of things that, candidly, many people don't even take time to value. I think it is, I thank you. I just want to say thank you for reaching out to elderly people, because I found that, you know, they are in our culture, I'm talking about in the United States or in the Western world, we do not value the elderly like those who are Asians. There is a very different mindset, and it is that the Asians have, and I think that's right. And I think what you've described is biblically right. There's a great deal that is said about those who are aging or those who are elderly, there's much sacrifice that they've made for us. And I don't want you ever losing that. That is huge. And I would want you to be a role model for others who need to understand and not be impatient. I can think of, I was telling somebody this evening that we had written material and we haven't made it what I call through the pipeline where it's not published, but several years ago, we have a huge amount, we're just about ready to be able to produce it, but it's on Alzheimer's and dementia. And I went intentionally to learn, to be exposed, I had people in my life whose parents were struggling, and later had a friend who was a struggler with Alzheimer's. But the bottom line is this, I went to all these support groups, and each one had its own personality. Each one had very helpful information. And I only would go one time in Dallas. I'm from Dallas, Texas. And this is, I would take notes and want to help people understand, even in the case of Alzheimer's is one type of dementia, just one of six. But what I felt badly about is something that I learned that I did wrong. And that is when someone would have dementia and they would, you would tell them something or there'd be some kind of conversation and then they wouldn't remember, that person wouldn't remember. And I would say, well, if you'll remember, da, 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 da. And now I'm repeating what was forgotten. And I thought, June, stop it. They can't remember. Why am I? But I would find myself, well, if you'll remember that, no, they can't. And I had to learn how to be how to get my wording correctly and not have expectations. I mean, they could be kind. There are multiple things that they would have the ability to do. Or maybe it's just an opportunity for us to give without expecting anything in return.
And,
No, go on. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, well, you know, you mentioned that. And there was an elderly lady that I had met at church years ago. I met her back in... It was 2011, and then she actually passed away at the end of January 2014. But I went, she lived in a nursing home, and I went there and visited her and stuff.
Yes.
And I was there quite often in that. And then I remember where the relationship, friendship went to a whole another level was one of the complaints that she had about the nursing home was that the food was nasty, which, I mean, any kind of cook the whole cafeteria full, plus people in nursing homes with allergic to this or high blood pressure, you can't salt that. It's even more bland. And so I said to her name was Shirley, and I said to her one day, I go, Shirley, honey, would you like to go out to eat? And she pushed her hand forward and said, nah. I said, why not? From what you told me, the food here is nasty. And she said, well, were you going to take me? And I said, well, that's what I thought. And she said, sure, yeah, and stuff.
Aww.
Going to take it in places. And one of the things I had, those are some people think I have no life. And that's some respects you might say it's true, but they might think that when I say that, being with her was some of the best years of my life.
Mm.
I mean, I took her places. When I moved out of state, I had her with me overnight, weeks at a time. I'm no relation to this lady, but many people thought I was her son. And I was with her so much and taking her places at her side. But one of the things Billy would say to me is, this was something she said early on, wasn't so much after I'd been with her mom for a while, but she said, I feel like you're depriving yourself. You're with me all the time, and that, you know, five days a week, whereas you're healthy, you can be out doing things and stuff. And I said, surely I'm not depriving myself, although I am sacrificing myself. And I said that when I sacrifice myself to pour into others, especially when I can see the fruit of the effort right before my eyes, that's where I'm fed. That brings me more joy and greater joy, and it's longer lasting than if I was to get something that I wanted to get. You know, I wanted this CD, this musical artist, and I got it, or this book, or whatever. Shortly thereafter, that, being as much as I like it and I'll listen to it again or read it, it's not the same as when you see the difference you're making in someone's life. And I said, you know, the other thing really was, you know, I said, Shirley, honey, when I moved here, I smiled and was friendly to people just because that's, to me, is the way you meet folks and connect. And I got so many much turn-off looks of such and saying, I don't even know him. So was I supposed to be a jerk because he didn't know me? I said, Shirley, you received me. She said, well, I'm so happy you came back. I said, well, why wouldn't I? She said, nobody else does. And I'd like to say to her, I'd say, well, last I checked, my birth certificate doesn't say nobody else. but he allowed me to pour into her, and that's. I said, you allow me to do the very thing I love to do, and you love me for it. Why wouldn't I keep coming?
I think what you're talking about is you are wanting to meet a need. People, you know, so if a person is self-centered, they're not thinking about others. They're thinking only about themselves. And yet, they're not like with my friend who eventually had Alzheimer's, and she didn't know me. But the joy was when I would walk in, all of a sudden there'd be a smile. Now, she didn't know who I was, but there are times when we are called to meet the need of others, not looking at, does this meet my need? And the Bible actually says it is more blessed to give, that we are more blessed if we give than receive. And I'm hearing that you experience that with this elderly woman.
In these unprecedented times, millions are suffering with more stress, anxiety, loneliness, and depression. In the still of the night, when things slow down, these feelings can be the strongest. This is when June Hunt shares God's truth through this late night radio ministry, Hope in the Night. She helps people find answers and critical next steps for their struggles. Help us mark this 26th year by making a $26 gift or even a $260 gift to our late night radio ministry. It would be a special blessing if you would make your gift a monthly gift. Just go to hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546. That's hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546.
Did you know that June Hunt has a new website? JuneHunt.org gives you a behind-the-scenes peek into June's life and ministry. You'll hear her personal story of an uncertain childhood and how, even as a young adult, she struggled with anger, unforgiveness, lying, and her identity. Perhaps in June's story, you'll hear your story and discover the same hope and help that has guided her. As June says, God does not waste the trials in our lives. Along with June's story, you can see what's new as we work to share this message of biblical hope and practical help in more places and in new ways to reach more people. Because there is hope, no matter the circumstances. Make JuneHunt.org your place to go for what's new at Hope for the Heart, and make it your place to go for biblical hope and practical help anytime, anywhere.
Listening to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we'll get back to our caller in a moment. If you have questions about the topics we're talking about tonight, we have keys for living called Aging Well, Living Long, and Finishing Strong. Also, the keys called Communication, and that's subtitled Getting to the Heart of the Matter. Those and other resources are available as you get in touch with customer support at 800-488-HOPE. They're available Monday through Friday and 8 to 5 Central Time. They'll be happy to help you get the right resources into your hands. Their number again, 800-488-4673. Also, remember, if you'd like to get in touch with our program, 800-NIGHT-17 is the number to call. It's 800-NIGHT-17. We'd be happy to talk with you about being on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night. Let's return to our conversation now with Scott.
Well, Scott, you have just reminded me of a conversation I had today. It was with a man who is his mother was my friend who died, and he was saying, I'm surprised how much I miss my mother. And he said, I'm having emotions I didn't expect to have. And then he ended up saying, among others, I was focusing on the positives, and he said, well, I have guilt. I have guilt that there are things I didn't do for her. And even though I knew about some of those things, she didn't focus on them. But I'm glad that he's aware, because I think God can use, I call it good guilt. Good guilt helps us see where we have been wrong so we can do a correction course. But what you've described reminds me of something. It's what Jesus was saying. He's telling this story about when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. And he says, and then the king will say, this is in Matthew 25, will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance and the kingdom prepared for you, that was prepared for you since the creation of the world. And then he says this, listen to this, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. The righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger, invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison or go visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of these, of the least of the brothers of mine, you did for me.
Yep. Matthew 25:31-46.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know the poem Unawares?
No, I don't.
Yeah, that poem, I mean, it always reminded me of the sheep and the goats parable. I mean, it's the, you know, if you have the time to see it, read it sometime.
Yes.
But, yeah, it's very true. And, I mean, and Plus, like right towards the tail end before we broke away to the commercial, that was Paul giving us a farewell to the address to the Ephesian elders there. That was specifically Acts 35. But in a bit of a paraphrase, he said to them right around that section about how I had preached the word and have not withheld any of the truth. And he said, and I reminded you of the words of the Lord Jesus himself to look after the poor and to take care of those who are sick and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus as more blessed to give than to receive. And that also sort of fits right in with the James 1:26-27, where it talks about pure and undefiled religion. It's looking after the orphans and widows in their distress.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Very much so. Well, you know, I'm going to, but I want to make a comment about you. And the comment is, because of people feeling they're too busy to reach out, or I don't have time because there's not a real advantage here, you know, this is going to help my career path. And I'm not saying people all think this. I'm saying there are people who are missing what God wants us, specifically what Jesus, who is God, was focusing on. And I think the issue can be that there is pridefulness. And I don't know that people always know that they're prideful. But prideful, the middle letter of the word pride is what?
I.
That's right. I'm going to do what I want to do when I want to do it because I want to do it. That's the middle letter of the word sin, too.
Right.
It's being self-focused. And I never will forget one time. I was quite young. Well, I don't know how old I was. I was in, I think, high school. And my mother drove in from Fort Worth. She had been visiting an elderly aunt of hers. There was an Aunt Ollie and an Aunt Dem, as in Aunt Dema. And her words to me when she came home, I'd been in school, and she said, "Oh, why don't I do this more often? Why do I?" And she was recognizing the importance of reaching out to the elderly. And what I'm saying is, I don't know that people are often in tune with the hollowness that elderly people can feel, because it's like they're not even noticed, or they're not prioritized. And that is where, because of the way my mom talked, I remember getting this letter from this doctor, and Dr. Mooney, and I had, oh, get this, when I was young, I thought I was doing something nice. I heard Dr. Mooney had broken his leg. So I picked some flowers, and I brought them to the front door of that house. And I said, "These are for Dr. Mooney." Unbeknownst to me, I had picked the prize-winning flowers that he and his wife were growing. But he did not let me know that. He said, "Come in." And he had me sit, and he began to read to me. Now, this is when he was really practicing as a doctor, but then he wrote me this letter from this nursing home, and I thought, I haven't heard from this man. But what I especially remember not was the excellent conversation we had and that I continued to have. I kept going back and going back. But it was, I noticed the people around, and I would say, I would ask, who has come to visit you? Some I had no one. But I learned
right.
from my mother, that's what you do. You go, when you go to a, it's whether it's a nursing home, a convalescent home, just whatever, you pay attention to who is around. Talk with them. Acknowledge them. You know, I am a big believer in, my mom had a little saying, bloom where you are planted. Bloom where
right.
you are planted. And when I saw that in the kitchen, every time I saw it, I would smile. And I saw my mom do that. But mom would, she would see the she would see the forgotten people. That those
right.
who didn't have someone paying attention. And I can tell you, what a gift. I just want to emphasize, yes, you will have your contemporaries. How old are you, my friend?
I'm 49.
Okay, 49. Well, you just think, the Lord is paying attention to who we reach out to.
Yes,
the Lord knows.
And I know what you're saying. I've often said that. I said about people in nursing homes are often an afterthought to society.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're dropped mm-hmm. off early, and, you know, many of their relatives who might be within 10 miles of the place and hardly ever come around and may never. And that, and I recognize that. And I mean, even like today, you know, there's friends of mine that are live about 100 miles away from me. I'll go pick them up and then take them places. And that,
really?
And my cool neighbors, elderly couple. But I, and I mean, I have often said about, you know, I think I didn't know that Asian culture looks to, after the elderly that
oh, yes.
so well. But I do know that people in this culture that are older tend to be forgotten about, or, you know, like, I think part of why I connect so well with them is, first of all, I'm not just willing to be with them. I want to be with them. And there's a fine line between the two that makes a world of difference.
Yes.
And the thing is, it's like, you know, here, you know, someone my age, there might be others around my age or younger or whatever that might say, hi, Mrs. Hunt. You know, as they walk into the neighborhood, they wave to you. That's friendly.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. Fine, but I will even go the extra mile of, can I get you anything? I'd like to take you to dinner. I made some extra dinner. Would you like it? I want to truly invest in them. You know, it's not just I do a kind little thing or a wave or whatever. I take a vested interest.
That is huge because there is such a need. And those who are recipients of your kindness and where you're really investing in them, it can mean the world to them. You know, it's easy to do things when it's just convenient for us over here. But what I'm hearing you say is you are intentional. It's not just a happenstance. It's not just hi. It's a focused attention. I love that phrase, giving focused attention. You know, that is what we need to do in all of our relationships that are meaningful. And that's how we build other relationships.
For bringing hope in the darkest hours, we're celebrating June Hunt and 26 years of Hope in the Night. June will tell you that a radio program was nowhere on her radar, but God had a different plan. On the first broadcast of Hope in the Night, June talked with people about fear, alcohol abuse, anger, and we'll never forget the woman facing an unplanned pregnancy. Help us mark this 26th year by making a $26 gift or even a $260 gift to our late night radio ministry. It would be a special blessing if you would make your gift a monthly gift. Just go to hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546. That's hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546.
As we each solve the puzzle that is our life, we often have questions we can't answer. Usually, they're little nagging questions, but sometimes they're larger. So large, in fact, the answer or even the question itself can have life-changing consequences. June Hunt believes the best answers to these tough questions come from God Himself, and He's given us those answers in the Bible. For more than 20 years now, June has helped callers find these biblical answers and apply them to their lives. You can talk with June on her radio program, Hope in the Night, about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or another concern in your life. Call 800-NIGHT-17. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call now, 800-644-4817.
You are listening to Hope in the Night. To get in touch with our program, call 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-NIGHT-17. We'd love to talk to you about being on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night. We are a ministry of Hope for the Heart, which is celebrating 35 years of ministry this year, offering God's truth for today's problems. And we're here simply because of your ongoing prayers and continued support of this ministry. We thank you for that. If you have questions about tonight's topics or any number of topics, we have over 100 keys for living that will help you in your particular situation. We'd love to hear from you and talk to you about those resources that will help you the most. Call our customer support team at 800-488-HOPE. And they're available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time. They'd be happy to hear from you and help you get the right resources into your hands. We have the keys for living called Aging Well, Living Long and Finishing Strong. Also, communication, getting to the heart of the matter. And again, the number for customer support is 800-488-HOPE. That's 800-488-4673. Let's return to our conversation now with Scott.
Well, Scott, you mentioned something. You mentioned a poem. Could you tell me the name of that poem again?
Yes, it's called Unawares.
Unawares. Okay. Well, all right. I want to learn from you in that way. I remember when I was doing. We had like 100 topics, and or a few more than 100, but one of them is aging, and I did think, now, who am I going to use as examples? Because I would like to highlight several people, and I kept thinking, and finally, all of a sudden, I thought, oh, my goodness, I'm in the middle of 4 seniors, meaning all of these seniors I knew, they all grew up in the Great Depression. They experienced the painful loss of their father, who died in his 40s from tuberculosis. Each was exceptionally positive, especially in their senior years. They were called the Ray family, R-A-Y. Actually, they were my family. It was my mother. Many called her Granny Ruth, even though she wasn't their granny. Her 3 siblings were Swan, Pat, and James. And kind of the funny thing about my Aunt Swan was she married Charles Lake. So she legally became Swan Lake, and she absolutely loved it. And then when she was in her, like, 90s, she, even at her church, she would be asked to do a little talk. And it's like, how do you know you're getting old? Well, you get winded playing cards. You look forward to a dull evening. Your back goes out more than you do. You need glasses to find your glasses. Your knees buckle, but your belt won't. You sit in a rocking chair and can't get it going. You sink your teeth into a steak, and they stay there. You know all the answers, but no one asks you questions. And so she would use this humor for a few minutes giving this talk. And I just thought, isn't that interesting? So this is the only place, in other words, in this topic where we always have definitions, characteristics, causes, and solutions. Well, in this case, that's the only time I ever talked about my family. It wasn't about me, but in fact, I intentionally did not tell stories about me and any of the keys that we have. But I did highlight these four unusually positive seniors. And I can tell you, when you tell those little stories, sayings, they love it. Seniors love it, because I have given out our, in fact, I'll do this. I'm going to send you, just as a gift from our ministry, we have what is called Aging Well, Living Long, Finishing Strong. And this is the kind of thing you could even share with someone, and they'll get a kick out of a number of the things she said. Plus, there's something I want to mention that I put toward the beginning of this topic. I said, while humor abounds about aging, consider these thought-provoking words. Quote, "Don't regret growing older. It's a privilege denied to many." It's right. A privilege denied to many. And there are many that die very, very young. I'm talking about as adults. So as people are growing older, okay, maybe you can't do some of the things you did earlier.
Right.
But, in Deuteronomy 32:7, it says, "Remember the days of old. Consider the generations long past. Ask your father, and he will tell you. Your elders, and they will explain it to you." So we are to ask. We are to pull out from those who are older. Tell me about your father. Tell me about what it was like for you growing up.
Well, I was beaten, bloodied, and brainwashed. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people don't know it, but in some respects, Shirley gave me the love I never had from a mother. I mean, between my mother and a boyfriend whom she later married, they'd split my head open five times. I would go up at school with welts or bruises or cuts, and the school called children services and the police, and then they came to the school to visit me, and they said, next time either one of them lays their hands on you, you get to a phone, you call, you do whatever. And then, since neither one of them could pin me themselves, they both worked to pin me down, and they'd have some kind of weapon to beat me with if I tried to get up and run.
I'm so sorry. Wow.
And surely there'd be times I would see her when I'd come to the nursing home, and she'd be crying, and she'd say, "God, why does he love me so? What have I done for him? No one's ever loved me the way this man does." And I'd put my arms around her, hug her, and so I said, "Shirley, honey." And then what I said was true. I said, "You don't realize how much your embrace upon me means. And I don't think anybody ever will. You know, if they've never had they never had a childhood like I had. If they had the kind of mother I had, they would know what a gift she is." I grew up, epileptic. 2 weeks after having two parts of my brain removed, it was a full cocked and my head cracked open, and found out my mother's boyfriend, it was all premeditated. And she stayed with him. I remember after he cracked my head open the second time, which was the time after that, there was a point a day or so after I was crying to my mother, and I said, "How can you stay with this man?
Yes.
The second time he's bashed my head open and he's practically killed me how many times?" And my mother looked me dead in the eye and said, "Get over it."
And
then less than a month later, she bashed my head open.
This hurts my heart for you. So you really do understand rejection. You really do understand hurt. And there's physical hurt, but there's hurt in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And
about like people at nursing homes, I said, you know, I think, you know, part of why I connect so well with them is because, for one, you know, I love the elderly to start with, but also, you know, while I've never lived in a nursing home, and I've been that helpless child at the mercy of others. And I said, people mm-hmm. at nursing homes, maybe if they can walk without a walker, that they're no match if someone wants to harm them, you know, and that, and so, you know, they're basically defenseless. They're at the mercy yeah. of these people. And I said, I've been
totally
that
vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I've been that. And I said, you know, and plus, with Shirley, people treated me so much better. I mean, if I'm walking through a store, a mall, or wherever, and I smile at someone, I'm by myself, a lot of times they'd stick their nose up or look the other way. They don't reciprocate much. When I would have her with me, they would, you know, the same people who might stick their nose up at me would come over and say, oh, is this your mom? You know, and way I've often put it, and it's sad but true, but I'd say the fact of the matter is, I guess, whenever you have someone with you that's basically, they are at your mercy, but I mean, like, basically,
they're very vulnerable. Yes.
Right. Well, and they're glistening and glowing with smiles. Well, then you must not be too much of a beast.
No. Do you have someone now, another person or several other people that you're reaching out to?
I have some friends. I mean, they're not not in Shirley's need, because Shirley was wheelchair-bound. I picked mm-hmm. her up, put in the car, I put her on the toilet, I bathed her, and was mm-hmm. everything. But I do like that couple that lives about 100 miles away, and then the ones next door. And then there's a lady who would be closer to the age of my mother, you know, and mm-hmm. that she's like 3 streets over. But it's not quite the same as, you know, there was somebody come into my life like Shirley that I could help be with, I mean, I'd certainly be glad to be there for them. But I don't think anybody will ever replace Shirley in my heart.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when I think of, let me make a comment about that, okay? When you think about it, your heart, everyone's heart is very capable of expanding in this way. I want you to think about, your heart is like a house. There is a living room in a house. The living room doesn't take the place of the bedroom. The bedroom doesn't take the place of the bathroom. The bathroom doesn't take the place of the kitchen. The kitchen doesn't take the place of a den. And we could go down, you know, a porch, etc. In other words, the heart is capable of expanding more and more. And it's not like you would find a replacement for Shirley. She will always be endeared exactly for who she was. And it's not taking a place, but it is learning the preciousness of that relationship and literally extending your heart, opening your heart to others that God would lead into your life, put into your life. And I think you have explained... you understand what it's like to have been abused, to be hurt, harmed, literally harmed, by uncaring people. And all the more are you able to extend care to those who are hurting, those who are perhaps forgotten. And I really pray that as you live your life, that there will always be reaching out to those who need help and hope, because many will not do that. And I'm going to be sending you our material, and I think you'll have a number of smiles with it. There's some profound things in here, but there's also humor from my mother and my Uncle Jimmy and my Uncle Pat and my Aunt Swan. This is Aging Well, Living Long, Finishing Strong. May God continue to use you in the lives of others who need you.
We will send the keys for living called Aging Well, Living Long and Finishing Strong. We send that out to tonight's caller free of charge. We do that because of your generous support of this ministry. If you'd like to give to keep Hope in the Night on the air, you may do so at hopefortheheart.org/donate. And we thank you for that. You may be also interested in the keys for living called Abuse Recovery, From Surviving to Thriving. You may order resources for yourself at 800-488-HOPE anytime Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time. And our materials and recent programs are available at hopefortheheart.org as well as wherever you find your podcasts. Until next time, for June Hunt, I'm Jeff Oliver saying you hang on to hope.